Early last Sunday morning, the president of Honduras, Manuel Zelaya, still in his pajamas, was taken from his bed by members of the military and flown out of the country. Although the coup capped months of tensions over Mr. Zelaya's attempts to rewrite the Constitution so he could run for a second term, it's been denounced by leaders across the world. For more on the situation, we are joined now by Mike Reed, the America's editor for The Economist magazine, and by New York Times reporter Mark Lacey, who speaks to us from Honduras. Welcome to our show. Hello.
Hello, yes.
Mark, let's begin with you. Can you give us a sense of what the mood is in Honduras at the moment?
Well, right now, the streets appear rather calm. Soldiers are seen all over the city, but particularly around government buildings. But there's really no chaos. What I can describe is a lot of tension. Basically, there's a lot of uncertainty as to what's going to happen next. And people, officials, the army, the police, everyone is a little bit certain as to what the next step is in this country.
Well, you're in the capital, Tegucigalpa. Would the situation be different in other parts of Honduras?
Yes. There are protests that are being organized throughout the country in all of the major towns and cities. And these protests are both for and against the new government, some people who supported the former president, Zelaya, and others who are supporting the current government. Those protests are being held each day, and it's the protests sometimes that lead to clashes and lead to problems. The capital right now, I don't know of any protests going on at this moment.
Mike, this is the first military coup in Central America since the end of the Cold War. Is the situation playing out along lines we've generally associated with military coups in Central America?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think certainly the manner in which President Zelaya was removed by the army rang all kinds of alarm bells in the region. But this is a different situation. Central America is now, democratic. The people behind the coup, claimed that it was President Zelaya who was violating the Constitution. That, of course, doesn't justify their action, but as most of the political forces and most of the institutions in Honduras support the change of government. I mean, that is precisely what makes the situation so difficult, I think, because you have, by all accounts and all evidence, most Hondurans actually don't want President Zelaya to come back, and all of the outside world does. So clearly there's going to have to be a negotiation there.
Well, he only had 30% approval rating. So was a coup even necessary in the minds of people who wanted to see him removed from office?
I think it was, unbelievably misguided, because what they've done is, turned this man who was a rather undistinguished president coming towards the end of his term into an international cause célèbre. And clearly it would have been more appropriate for legal measures to have been taken against him, and the action of removing him was a far greater violation of the Constitution than those of which he is accused.
Well, the new government is claiming that Mr. Zelaya's removal from office by the military was constitutional because it has the backing of the Honduran Supreme Court and Congress.
Yeah, that's not the way it's perceived, of course, in the outside world, and that's the problem for the new government in Honduras. I mean, Honduras is a small, poor country with an open economy. It's dependent on foreign aid and trade, and if sanctions are imposed, then I think things will get quite difficult. I mean, on the other hand, it's only a matter of some 5 months before a presidential election is due anyway. But I repeat, I think it's really important for Honduras and for the region that, you know, negotiations take place and that this matter is settled as soon as possible. And that means Mr. Zelaya being restored, but I think it's hard to see him being restored unconditionally as the Organization of American States has been demanding.
Mark, on Wednesday, the Honduran Congress approved a decree that allows security forces to arrest people at home and hold them for more than 24 hours. How would you interpret that move? Is the new government concerned with losing control?
The government is concerned about the possibility that Mr. Zelaya could come back and that his supporters, however many there are, could cause problems if he did come back. They're definitely trying to keep tabs on and neutralize to some degree opposition to their rule before he comes back. And there, I've spoken to officials with this new government who have expressed concern that there could be bloodshed, a bloodbath, one person told me, if President Zelaya returns to the country. So I don't know if that's alarmist, but there's no doubt that protesting now for Mr. Zelaya's return carries some risk in Honduras right now.
Are we seeing something analogous to what we're seeing in Iran?
I don't think it's anywhere nearly at that level of control. This is a country where there's much more freedom of expression than in a country like Iran. But it's the same attempt by a government to control the message. This new government limited. It closed down some television stations in this country temporarily. They restricted access by CNN and a Venezuelan station. They controlled their signals for some time. This is a country very concerned about how people might react and their concerns about street protests getting out of control. Yes, indeed.
I'm talking with Mark Lacy, who is the head of the Mexico City Bureau for the New York Times. He has gone to Tegucigalpa, Honduras, to cover the coup for the Times. Also, Mike Reed, the America's editor for The Economist magazine. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Mike, tensions around President Zelaya's quest for another term have run high in Honduras for months. Is there any indication that Mr. Zelaya had any idea a coup was coming?
Well, yes, indeed. In fact, he gave an interview to a Spanish newspaper, which appeared on Saturday, in which he went out of his way to praise the Obama administration for blocking, I mean, for forestalling by indicating its opposition to a coup, which of course happened, you know, 24 hours later. So, I mean, there has been, you know, rising tension in Honduras in the last, in fact, in the last few weeks and months around the fact that Mr. Zelaya was determined to go ahead with this consultation on calling a constituent assembly to change the constitution with the apparent intent to sort of cling to power.
Well, Hugo Chavez, who pulled off a constitutional change to allow himself to remain in power, has accused the United States of being behind the coup.
Well, yeah, that's right. But, I mean, that's predictable, and he hasn't come up with any evidence whatsoever. I mean, I think the interesting thing so far has been that on this question, the United States and Venezuela have been on the same side. I think the longer this goes on without President Zelaya being restored, I think the more dangerous it becomes, and you could get a polarization in the region. So I think it's really important that that serious negotiations start soon.
Mark, does something like this have to occur for people to pay attention to a country like Honduras? I mean, you're stationed in Mexico City.
Yes, I cover from Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean, and Honduras is a country that really is well below the radar screen, even of regional correspondents who cover the area. It's a country where there are so many troubled countries in the area. There are so many crises. We have Mexico's drug war that Honduras's political woes have not gotten a whole lot of attention. But anybody who has paid attention to this country over some months would have seen not necessarily a coup coming, but would have seen serious problems coming. This was a slow motion crisis that really did play out over time, and like Mike said, the coup was certainly a surprise as to exactly when it happened and in what form the president was ousted. But those who have been following the crisis were not surprised that it came to this, because there were in recent days and recent weeks there were fears that something just like this could have happened.
Now, we're pretty much out of time, but I do want to address one other issue, and I guess I'll throw it out to Mike. It was reported yesterday that Mrs. Zelaya plans to return to the country, and Roberto Micheletti, the interim leader of the new government, threatened Mr. Zelaya with arrest if he returned. He's accused him of all sorts of crimes, including allowing Venezuelan registered planes filled with money and cocaine to land in Honduras en route to the United States. Do you think that any of these charges will stick?
Well, I think it's very hard to know. I mean, how much reality there is in them and how much paranoia. I think one thing that's clear is that particularly in kind of smaller, weaker states in the Americas, there is considerable fear on the part of important sectors in those countries about the threat of posed by President Chavez, who has a lot of money, has a bit less than he had before because the oil price is not quite as high, but he still has quite a lot of money, and he has an agenda, and his agenda is to build a network of allies and clients in the region. And I think part of what is behind this, and one of the longer term issues for the region, is how do you deal with overmighty presidents? Because threats to democracy don't just come from coups, although those are clearly a very big threat. And have to be reversed and have to be opposed. But they also come from presidents, undermining the institutions. And the rest of Latin America has stood by while President Chavez has done that in his own country, and some of his allies are doing similar things. And that generates a polarization, which is dangerous.
Thank you both so much for being with us. Mike Reed is the America's editor for The Economist magazine. And we have also been talking with New York Times reporter Mark Lacy from Tegucigalpa, Honduras. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.